Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
In Powerhouse, our focus today, we're also going to talk about Empowerhouse and their work with the Stafford Sheriff's Office. From the Stafford Sheriff's Office, Sergeant Carol Burgess is here. Carol, I've known you for years, and we've worked on a lot of projects in the field, but you've never been in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
It is nice to have you here, and we look forward to hearing from you as we go along this morning. Susan Sigmund is here. She is with Empowerhouse, Stafford County's Domestic Violence Coordinator, and a court advocate. Hi, Susan.
Hi, good morning. Thank
Welcome
you.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
And, of course, it's Kathy Anderson, the Executive Director of Empowerhouse here this morning. Kathy, good morning to you.
Good morning, Ted.
Off we go this morning. Been a while since you have been in, but the work of Empowerhouse, I look forward to this show today, Kathy, because we're going to talk about what you do through the Sheriff's Office. We've talked about this before, but this is exciting stuff, and gives you a unique perspective into what you do and by working with the local Sheriff's Office.
Yeah, probably it's one of the things that we do that very few people know is happening. This idea of spending time doing the Empowerhouse work within the Sheriff's Office in Stafford is, you know, a relatively new thing that we've done, but it's been years now. And we look forward to sharing with everybody what that entails. But it's essentially a satellite office for Empowerhouse, but more uniquely structured so that there's that ability to work cooperatively and in coordination with the duties that happen there at the Sheriff's Office and with domestic violence. It's really a great opportunity to work together to serve survivors of domestic violence.
Boy, Sergeant Burgess, having Empowerhouse there and right there to be able to work with them, I would think that would be a big help to what you all do.
Oh, absolutely. Just having in-house and then Susan, Anna, with a personal connection. So just having them there to answer those questions and that immediate contact with the victims, you know, as they come in and questions that we may have. So it's definitely an asset to our department.
You're right there on ground zero, aren't you, Susan?
I am. We are really fortunate, very excited that not only do we have the co-location within the Stafford Sheriff's Office, but as the program is growing and developing, it's something that we are really, really thankful for. Stafford County Sheriff's Office also has a domestic violence civilian advocate as well. Mm-hmm. So we've got a two-pronged approach when survivors are coming in and asking for services or seeking support and questions. So it's covering things from the Empowerhouse side, the law enforcement side. It's something we're really, really excited about.
Boy, and I would think to be right there and to be able to answer questions almost as it happens, is they're requesting things. That's a great what a great ability that you've got.
Mm-hmm. Well, those first engagements with a survivor are so critical, because that might be your one time, because it might be their only opportunity to not be in the presence of their abuser, whether they're calling on the phone or they're coming as a walk-in. Whether they have questions about other things, and then they disclose abuse in the course of a conversation. So it's really, really critical that we are able to provide immediate services and support and access to safety planning and all the things that we know are important for that life-saving work.
Boy, and to be able to offer that right away, so often I think I would think as a victim, you're just thinking, well, you know, I'll file a report, I'll, you know, ask some questions, and someone will get back to me. Mm-hmm. For you to be able to do that right at that time is really great.
Well, and again, that's why we're so happy with the partnership that we have with the Sheriff's Office, because we can all work within our roles, but also have that duality of providing services that are really so essential.
I know, Sergeant Burgess, I mean, these are the kind of questions a lot of times. I mean, you know a lot of the basics, but to have somebody like Susan there and Empowerhouse there, wow, that you're able to take care of it right then.
Oh, absolutely. So it's definitely, like you said, just having them on site and then working closely together is, yeah, we're very appreciative. Because they're, you know, sometimes we can't answer those questions. And just having that resource, you have no idea the importance. And that's something we see, you know, domestic violence is so prevalent in so many homes, it goes unreported. So for us to have somebody just, in arm's reach to, you know, even by phone. So again, you know, 24 hours a day. I know this lady here, Susan, she never stops. She gives out her number. She's willing. She gives us resources. So it definitely has an impact within the Sheriff's Department. So we appreciate it.
But we've come a long way, Susan. I mean, this is such a big step forward. And I know you, Empowers has been doing this now for a while with Stafford County, but boy, what a great step it is, because this was always one of the areas where you always kept, you know, a lot of times people don't understand what victims are going through.
Well, and the sheriff's office too has worked really hard to build their domestic violence unit with their investigator and with their resources there, and then with the hiring of Anna, who is their civilian advocate. So it's really expanding accessibility for survivors, and through the grant partnership, and Kathy, I know, will probably speak to that and really touch on that, but we are just very, very fortunate that we are able and in a position to offer this for people in our community.
Now, it is a great thing to be able to offer. And I know, Kathy, this is something that when this all came, I mean, this was something you worked for years, of trying to just educate local law enforcement about the needs.
You know, I think for a long, long time, Empower House organizations like ours, domestic violence services organizations and law enforcement, we've been trying to educate each other for many, many years. I think being co-located opens so many opportunities. And, you know, the kind of work that we do at Empower House has many unique ways of approaching things. And I think that because of our unique approaches, when we're not co-located, sometimes it's difficult to understand what each other does or what is the reason behind our approach. What is our role? And I have seen, you know, the first office that we were in was the King George Sheriff's Office. And that helped us to provide those services where we had an under-resourced community as far as our services went. That was also a community where we weren't serving African-American survivors of domestic violence as we were our other populations when you looked at the census data. So our first opportunity to be within a sheriff's office really was to provide that outreach, and that worked really well. In Stafford, what they realized at the sheriff's office, they identified the need. Susan was there providing typical training, roll call training, something that we do pretty frequently. And Susan was in the Stafford Sheriff's Office, and a survivor came to the office and wanted some help. And one of the gentlemen who works for the office, Mr. Cameron, he found Susan, and they immediately connected this victim. And that was a situation that all of the offices in Stafford County worked with, and they saw such a excellent experience that victim had, and that case was so successful that they said, we really ought to have these services in-house. One of the services that makes it unique that Empower House provides, unique from, say, the civilian advocate or the sheriff's office, is providing that confidentiality to that survivor. People don't always understand how important that is, that there is a person who will receive that information, treat that survivor, if you will, provide that information and also receive that information, but then that information doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't go back to the Empower House office. It doesn't go back to the deputy or the investigator or the prosecutor or the judge. It is information that survivor is able to share. It's a free service, but they sometimes just really need to talk and not have to worry about where that information is going to go or how it might come out later. And I think when a survivor has that comfort level, then they feel like they have everybody serving them uniquely, where they can decide what information they really can afford to release. When you feel in danger by someone who's hurting you, and that person is kind of your person, you know, that's the person who you've professed to love and they've professed to love you. When that is the person hurting you, you can't really afford to say too much because you really don't know how that's going to come back to hurt you.
Kathy Anderson is here along with Susan Sigmund and Sergeant Carol Burgess with the Stafford Sheriff's Office. Quick break. We'll return on News Talk 1230 WFVA. And we're back. Kathy Anderson, Susan Sigmund, and Sergeant Carol Burgess with the Stafford Sheriff's Office here this morning. In Powerhouse, our focus on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Good stuff. Before we were going to take a break, and apparently won't be taking breaks for a little while this morning. Kathy, that was some of the background of what you do is fascinating. And Susan, you're right there, and just the what you have to do. And you know, whether it's the confidentiality or whether there's in some cases you're dealing with life and death situations, and everyone is different.
Everyone is different. You know, the approach is all cases are life and death situation because the one known factor is the unknown. Abuse that may come as a result of somebody coming and seeking services. And so we look at every case that way. That's why risk assessment is unique and individualized for each person. That's why safety planning is unique and individualized for each person. And as Kathy mentioned, disclosing that information comes with a lot of collateral consequences for that survivor. And so that's why we are absolutely careful and hold the integrity of our mission and what we're called to do. To provide services and to protect privacy so closely because this is somebody's life that we're dealing with.
How did you get, in your years working with Empower House and what you have done, has it evolved? Is this what you got into doing with Empower House?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting. I started as a volunteer with Empower House. When I moved into the area, I started as a volunteer with the organization. I will say that Empower House is phenomenal as good stewards of the mission and the funding, and as far as providing all the amazing work that's done in the community. It's just incredible, and it's an honor and a blessing to work and be affiliated with this organization. I've always worked with victim-based populations, whether it was child victims or adult victims or family mm-hmm. units. And so I was fortunate enough, I did volunteer work with the agency when I started, actually working with some offenders, and was then able to transition over back onto the victim services side, which is where my love and passion really is.
I'm trying to remember. I think one of the last times you were here, you did some things in King George, didn't you? Or did you? Are you?
As Kathy mentioned, yes, when we had the startup for the position, placing an advocate within the King George Sheriff's Office, then I was fortunate enough to be able to be on the front end of that and start that work that we were doing out there. So, yes, so it's my second time being located within a sheriff's organization.
I thought so when we got started, and I was going to ask you off air, weren't you the one in King George? So this is something, and I guess you've seen the evolution of this, and I'm sure as you all get comfortable and as you work mm-hmm. with the sheriff's office, mm-hmm. they get comfortable with what you do.
Well, and I think it's important to, you know, our agency has an entire staff of amazing mm-hmm. advocates and leadership, and so while I may be the advocate that's stationed at the Stafford Sheriff's Office, it's because of the support of our agency and the leadership of our organization that allows this to be able to continue.
Carol, having somebody like Susan, we mentioned earlier how it just gives you some on the site or on the scene help, or you can call her by phone. But like we said earlier, these are tough situations that all of a sudden the sheriff's office finds themselves with.
Absolutely. And I think the biggest part of that, anytime we're responding to a victim or somebody of domestic violence, it's our job to provide them a service. And I think that's what's changed throughout the years. So whether we're making an arrest or just, you know, given, you know, if we can't make a determination like who's the primary aggressor, what, you know, actions we're going to take, we still provide a resource for that person. Basically through our training, I know Susan and Powerhouse, they did a training last year, our strangulation training, mm-hmm. that really, you know, training that we needed kind of open our eyes up, you know, what to look for. And not we take that and with the resources that we're given, and we're able to provide those resources out to the public, out to victims that we may encounter or potential victims. You know, again, it's something hard to report, you know, when that's the primary provider of the home, and then, you know, somebody's in a situation where they're trying to keep the home together. Mm-hmm. So it's not easy for those families, for those women, for those men, for those children. So just being able to, if we respond, we're able to better help those that we're serving. And it's through the resources that they give us, it's through the training that they give us to know what to look for and to know how to basically, if we don't do anything, you know, we're putting them in contact with resources, with services, and, you know, hoping that they will reach out. And if they don't, then, you know, the Empower House or domestic violence, they actually reach out to the victims and try to, you know, again, follow up and provide them with resources that they may need.
But it does really help the sheriff's office in what you do. It really does give you another voice, really, to reach out to these victims.
Yes, it does.
Empower House, our focus this morning. EmpowerHouseVA.com is the website if you want. Is it .com or is it .org?
PowerhouseVA.org.
I thought so. I looked at my own writing there, and I thought I don't think that's right. But Kathy, as Carol talked about all the things, and I just think of how we have talked about all of this over the years. This really continues to really really grow, and you are really able to help the community.
You know, growing is always difficult with finite resources. You know, the community here in Fredericksburg area, Stafford, Spotsylvania, King George, Caroline, you know, every community has been, they care about this. You know, survivors of domestic violence, we're here to talk about crime victims this morning. And as a unique subset of crime victims, those experiencing domestic violence don't always talk about the crime that's been perpetrated against them. It's not something that people necessarily want other people to know.
Mm-hmm.
They'll say something to us in private if we provide a presentation, or of course they're disclosing and reporting those crimes. However, unlike a robbery, they aren't always going around town saying, "Hey, this happened to me."
Yeah.
And there's a lot of reasons people don't talk about it. One of them, they're embarrassed. Another one might be that they don't want to expose the entire family, their partner, their children. People aren't always feeling like this is a crime. You know, sometimes people feel this is a crime they deserve, even though absolutely 100% we know that this is not a crime that happened to them because of anything they did. This is a crime that the perpetrator chose to pursue.
Yeah.
And that behavior is a crime. And, you know, hurting your family member, you know, you might say is one of the ultimate things that somebody can do that's really harmful, hurting family members, because it lasts a lifetime. So, you know, being together with our sheriff's offices, getting the support from the community, pursuing grants, the grant that we have with Stafford County, the Stafford Sheriff's Office, is also a grant that provides a forensic nurse to Mary Washington Hospital. You know, they've been on the program. And so, you know, being able to support our community in a variety of ways so that survivors of domestic violence can get the best support possible, that's something that we really appreciate those opportunities to do so.
Remember, we did a show right before the literally like a week or so before the pandemic last year, about, and Carol mentioned about strangulation. That was just such an eye opener to me. I mean, it was frightening to hear just the statistics and that you are, you know, that's something you deal with.
I know. So we don't talk about the statistics enough, probably, but 1 in 4 women will experience severe physical violence at the hands of an intimate partner in their lifetime. And we talked about how strangulation really amplifies or increases the risk when experiencing domestic violence. And I'm going to let maybe Susan talk a little more about strangulation and its impact on survivors of domestic violence.
So it is what's often referred to as the last warning shot. It's probably the most lethal form of power and control that an abuser will use as a tactic against their partner. It increases their likelihood about 1,000% of being a homicide victim in that situation. If a person has experienced strangulation, they used to think it, based on some studies that have come out more recently, that now it is about 1,000% increase, which is an increase from some prior studies, because this is an area that is has ongoing research, ongoing data being pushed into programs because of the concerns, specifically because the majority of the time the injuries will not be visible externally. They're going to be internal, and so that's why people might minimize the potential damage as a result of being a strangulation victim, and it's so critical that they get seen and assessed by a healthcare provider.
Wow. To even think about mm-hmm. what a victim goes through, what they think, and how you continue to function after something mm-hmm. like that.
And I think it's interesting you said how you continue to function, because we know when the brain is deprived of oxygen, and it's absolutely going to have an impact on how people function. So it can affect short-term and long-term memory. People can have blood clots in their arteries that can ultimately result in a stroke down the road. And so sometimes people may present later for a stroke, but it's actually as a result of a prior strangulation. So all of these things are being looked at. The hospital has an entire protocol that they will use when somebody discloses strangulation, or even helping identify people identify and understand what is strangulation. So we're very careful when, you know, some people may have an idea of what that looks like. And so we often talk about any unwanted touching or pressure of your neck. So it doesn't have to look like what people might traditionally think of strangulation.
Yeah.
You know, a forearm or a knee on somebody's neck is a form of strangulation. So that education is really, really important, too. So people will know how to best treat and take those next steps for their health care mm-hmm. and for their lives.
It's interesting that you call it the last warning shot. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Well, if an abuser is putting their hands on somebody's neck, they are waving that giant flag that says, I'm a killer. I'm willing to kill somebody. Mm. And so it is absolutely something that needs to be paid attention to.
Boy, and Sergeant Burgess, we talk about this as uncomfortable as it is. That just shows, that's the severity that you're dealing with oftentimes with domestic violence.
Absolutely. And, you know, just to hear Susan talk about the statistics and the impact that it has on victims.
Yeah.
But that's what, you know, helps us as far as the training. And I know once we went to that training, we kind of knew what to look for, some of the things we didn't look for before, as opposed to looking, you know, in the victim's eyes, and you can see the, you know, the trauma that's there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I just lost my train of thought. But as I hear her talk about it, I could just, you know, see, you know, those victims. So
it just takes your breath away, even like thinking about that severe of an assault.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's chilling. So,
mm-hmm. yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I think it's important that we do talk about it. We need to bring domestic violence out of the dark corners. It doesn't, you know, it's not a comfortable topic. It's a horribly uncomfortable topic, but it's so important that people realize they're not alone. Mm-hmm. We know it impacts families. We know it impacts children. As Kathy mentioned earlier, this is an experience that somebody has that is now kind of woven into the tapestry of their life. And what do you do with that? And
yeah.
So taking away the shame that people often feel, it's not their shame, it's the abuser's shame. That's where the shame lies, and that's where the responsibility lies, and that's where offender accountability is so critical. And so providing that support for the folks who are on the receiving end of the abuse is really, really important, because this is something that they will have to deal with and process as they move forward.
No, and like you say, it's not, and it also involves kids, and there's it's not just between two people.
Exactly right. There's missed days of work. It affects businesses. It affects economics. It affects and impacts children and their ability to focus when they're at school and doing their schoolwork and their behaviors. I mean, there's just multiple ripples that this stone will drop that will just continue and perpetuate. And so that's why it's so important that intervention and things are in place so that people know that it's absolutely okay to talk about it. It is 100% okay to talk about it. And when you do, somebody's going to say, yes, I hear you, I believe you, we support you, and let's take those next steps on what that victim feels are their best options, and knowing that they have choices where they didn't think they might have had choices before.
Susan Sigmund is in Powerhouse's Stafford County Domestic Violence Coordinator and Court Advocate. Kathy Anderson also here from Powerhouse, and Sergeant Carol Burgess here from the Stafford Sheriff's Office. Quick break. We'll return on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:30. And we're back on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is a town talk this morning with Powerhouse and the Stafford Sheriff's Office. Sergeant Carol Burgess here from the Stafford Sheriff's Office, along with Susan Sigmund and Kathy Anderson from Powerhouse. Good stuff. And as we took the break there, just in talking, Susan, just about the seriousness of this all, what do you suggest? I mean, the hard thing is, as Kathy mentioned a little bit earlier in the show, is a person coming for help, but there is help available.
Absolutely, and that's one reason our hotline is there. It's 24/7. It's 100% confidential. The number is 540-373-9373. And anyone can call at that number and speak to an advocate. We will always have someone on the phone if they just want to talk. They don't even have to give their name. Mm-hmm. But if they want to talk about what they're experiencing and go ahead and do kind of that soft reach out, sometimes it's not a soft reach out. They are in an immediate crisis right then, and a response needs to be put into place. But that hotline is going to be there for anyone that needs to access that information on a 24-hour basis.
Susan, as you have seen this, because we mentioned earlier, you've been involved with Stafford and King George, and have seen this whole program in working with Sheriff's Office growing. I would think just the comfort level and the understanding and what you learn over the years that you're seeing more and more, and things are different. If we were having this show 5 years ago, things are much different with what you're able to provide and the help you're getting from the Sheriff's Office.
Well, I think that one of the things that has definitely grown out of co-location is a better understanding of each other's services and operating procedures and how agencies work to provide services, because that's the goal, is people want victims to be safe and to offer them the different resources that each agency does. And so there is going to be some overlap, and then there's going to be absolutely individualized roles that are taking place there in order to put all of these things in place. And so that's why we're so thankful within the Stafford Sheriff's Office, they have a domestic violence unit, they have a dedicated detective, they have a dedicated civilian advocate that's also doing some of this same work, from the law enforcement side, from some advocacy pieces, and then connecting with the services that Powerhouse provides. So sometimes, we may get phone calls or have people come to our office that have never reported to law enforcement. And this has been happening for years in their relationship. Or they may have somebody come in and say, I just wanted to come and talk to somebody and just document and have a report taken. And so how we work together while maintaining our individualized roles, but also providing support to those victims is what's really beautiful about this type of relationship, because everybody can respect each other's different aspects, but also still provide those critical life-saving services that people need.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess you're saying, you see that every day.
I absolutely do. I'm just, as she sit here and speak, I just recall seeing the investigator and the civilian advocate out in the lobby speaking to a victim, mm-hmm. a recent victim, and that just shows you the immediate follow-ups, because when deputies respond to a scene, they determine, you know, if, you know, there's two deputies that always respond, and if they determine a primary aggressor, it immediately stops. There's either EPO, emergency protective order, that's put in place. So those are the immediate services that, you know, they're providing to the families. But not only that, then it immediately goes to that investigator. It goes to that civilian advocate. So they're reading a report and they're following up. So as Susan talked, I thought about, this was just recent that I actually witnessed them talking to a victim in the lobby, providing those resources, reassuring her, but they're walking them through the process. You're not doing it alone. And I think that's the biggest part. Like, we are by your side 100%. You have your victim witness advocates that are there. You go through the court systems. So again, no longer, and I think the biggest part of this, do victims, are they in it alone? We're in it together. And that's the biggest thing about providing that support. Mm-hmm.
Yep, well, just that, agree. Just that immediacy, and to know right away that mm-hmm. you have something, because right. I'm sure, Susan, it's that first step sometimes.
Absolutely. The first step is a leap of faith.
Yeah.
It is a leap of faith. And I think that's why, you know, I've always said survivors are probably the most courageous people I've ever known, because there is so much at risk when they disclose. And that's why it's very important that everything is set into place. You know, they may not have planned for us, but we have all planned for them. So we're ready.
Yeah. Well, that's a good way to put it. And I guess, besides, you know, your life being turned upside down and you're wondering about what's next, there's, I'm sure, also the other thought is, are they going to believe me?
Right, right.
And to have somebody that that understands is empathetic as you and others, I mean, that makes a big difference right away, to, you know, just to be able to say, I understand. And
well,
this is what's available.
And recognizing signs and understanding language that survivors of domestic violence may use when they're disclosing things or when they're talking to law enforcement. So all of that, yes, and that's why trained professionals, whether it's through the law enforcement agency or through the local domestic violence agency of Empower House, that's why it's so important that, and we're so fortunate we have good people in place and in all these places. We're really thankful too, because, and Sergeant Burgess can speak more to this, but they have a new program coming in April, and she can talk about it, but it also is shining that light out there mm-hmm. again, and taking domestic violence along with some other crimes out of the dark. And so I know she's excited about that. So
so what is this new program?
Well, it's actually, we got a grant from the Office of Victim Witness through Department of Justice for National Crimes Victims Rights Week. Mm-hmm. And it's every year, I guess, through the week of around the 18th through the 24th of April. So we're excited this year because, you know, I wrote the grant, we got approved, and now we get the chance to, you know, participate. But the three key elements of the grant that I wrote for were domestic violence, scams, and bullying. And the reason, again, we spoke about domestic violence, why that's important, that's something we see as one of those silent, like the silent victims, people don't speak out. But we're also seeing is our scams. Mm-hmm. Right now, there's a increase in scams, and a lot of it is probably going unreported. So we want to get that information out there. If you're a victim, report this information, because now we have more people that are sitting behind their computers and just targeting. And what we've seen, no one's immune from it. It's hitting our young folks, it's hitting our elderly people, and it's hitting our middle-aged people. So what we're seeing with our scams, and they're very creative, so nobody's immune from it. And as far as bullying with our children, our juveniles, and the bullying, and even as adults. So those are the three things that we want to target in the grant. But it's basically about supporting victims, engaging the community, and building that trust. And that's a theme this year. And once I saw that, you know, with our crime prevention and the community engagement unit, that's what we're about, you know, and that's pretty much year-round. It's about supporting our victims, engaging the trust, and building communities, and being one. So I'm excited about it. On April the 23rd, we're actually doing our candlelight visual walk from 6 to 8 at Embry Mill. So again, we'll be out, we'll be partnered with Empower House. So we're really excited about that walk. And we plan to have basically throughout that week just signs posted about, you know, domestic violence, about scams, about bullying, just to increase the awareness, just raise the awareness. Because again, it's when you talk to these victims of crimes, it's like they're afraid to report it or they're embarrassed. The same thing with DV. They're embarrassed to report that they got scammed. Mm-hmm. And if you look at, like, if we post something, somebody will make an obnoxious comment. It's like, oh, how could that happen? Well, it very well could happen to any one of us. So we're excited about the grant working about National Crime Victims' Rights Week. And, again, that's something we do every day.
Yeah, that whole, I was going to say, on the scam front, a week doesn't go by on the Stafford Sheriff's Office Facebook page where you're not putting out an alert of somebody that's been scammed.
Absolutely.
But and like you say, with domestic violence, it is, I think, a lot of it too, the same kind of thing. You don't, you're embarrassed and you don't want somebody to think, well, you know, like, you seem to be so together and, you know, that this couldn't possibly be happening to you.
Oh, and what you said, you seem to be so together, and it's those homes, those people that we see that seem to be so together that are afraid to report it.
Yeah.
And again, even in juveniles, like, we're seeing our younger people in schools, they're involved in domestic violence because of what they've seen. If they see it in their household, and I know when I worked in the middle school, it's like with the young girls, but you learn that they experience it in their household. So again, just increasing that awareness, and I think education is the key. And again, like, you hear something, it's like we hear something. If we continue to educate, continue to raise awareness, then at least hopefully somebody will get it.
Is that a big problem, Susan, about, you know, not wanting, just because of embarrassment, not wanting, you know, somebody to say, but she's so together, how this could never happen to her?
Absolutely. I think embarrassment and shame. Mm. People take on a lot of ownership for what has been their experience, and abusers spend a lot of time shifting that blame and shifting that responsibility for what is occurring onto their partner. And so it's very, very difficult for people to talk about what happened. And it's interesting when Carol was talking, because I was thinking about, when we think about intimate partner violence, and we think about scams, and we think about bullying, all of these have at a nexus point there, someone wanting to be in control of somebody else. They all go back to that same type of perpetrating power and control over a person who is in a position to maybe not be able to speak up, or, like you said, embarrassment that they were scammed, or bullying. And we see teen dating violence. Carol touched on that. So all of this goes back to this type of tactic. And so, again, that education is so important, that we talk about these things, and it's nothing to be embarrassed of. The abusers need to be embarrassed. The scammers need to be embarrassed. You know, we need to put it out there and say, this is what's happening. Like, be aware. Please know that this is happening.
And I guess in the first step is stepping forward and coming and like you say, Carol, talking to the talking to somebody in the sheriff's office if need be.
Right. Absolutely. And you know, not only is even with your victims of domestic violence, men or women, once they experience that, even if they get out of that relationship, when they go into another relationship, it's like that's the part where they play a huge role, because they're educating them on the things to look for before they even get into another relationship. So I think that's key. And again, that comes with the awareness, the education, which is important in it all. And they'll remember those steps that they're taking.
Before we run out of time here, Sergeant Burgess, because you mentioned the grant and the walk at Embry-Mill, are there other events that you've got going on that through this month?
Well, throughout that week, we're going to
week.
Yeah, we're going to do podcasts. So we have basically a podcast line with Empower House. That, you know, Kathy Volbert, she's going to record. So we're going to put that podcast out. I think their day is like Tuesday. Then we're going to do a podcast that Wednesday and that Thursday. And then we're going to go to visit like some of the senior citizens and try to, you know, get them information about scams. Just be out, like, throughout that week, we plan to like post up like signs about scams, domestic violence around the county. So that's kind of the goal. So we'll just, you'll see banners, you'll see signs, just to raise the awareness. But the big event is that evening, Friday, April the 23rd.
Those are always powerful moments.
Yes.
when you have a, because there are always people involved in that either they've come forward, or it's been something that's very deeply personal, and a lot of people don't know about it.
Exactly.
It's a chance to be able to publicly make a statement.
Right, because I think everybody knows a victim, or you at least been a victim at some point in your life. But again, it's about empowering. Some people don't like to use victims, but it's about empowerment, not to be a silent, you know, but to talk about what happened.
Boy, Susan Sigmund with Empower House. This is also the type of thing, if you work with someone or you're a neighbor with someone and you suspect something is going on, how important is it to go to the person and just to say, "Hey, I'm here," or "Do you need any help?" or just to sort of verbalize something?
We get a lot of phone calls about that through our hotline. A friend or a family member saying, "I'm concerned about this person that I care about. I don't know what to do. What am I supposed to do? How can I help them? You know, should I take them somewhere? You know, what is my next step?" And so we often try to let them know, if you say to somebody, "I'm so sorry this is happening. I absolutely believe you. Here's a number of a place that you can call. Or I know of someone in the sheriff's office that maybe you can talk to," mm-hmm. "or you can call this confidential number for the local domestic violence agency, and they have somebody there who can talk this through with you. Maybe I, as your friend or as your family member, I'm not quite sure what to do here, but I can at least tell you I believe you, and I can give you a number for trained professionals that you can talk to about what's happening."
I'm sure COVID has made everything so much more difficult in your world.
Absolutely. I know they can probably talk on the sheriff's office side. For us, the, you know, abusers have weaponized COVID. It was another built-in opportunity for isolation and, you know, another tactic they could use against their partners. And then I know the sheriff's office had different ways of even responding because of COVID.
How do you respond, Sergeant Burgess?
Well, basically, we still have to respond.
Yeah.
Regardless. So, again, we load up our PPE gear. So, COVID has not stopped us when it comes to responding to, you know, victims of crime or any type of crime. So, on that aspect of it, it has not stopped. So, we're still going out to the houses responding and still trying to put those resources in place, because we are aware of it. It's a perfect time for isolation. So again, as far as our response, we're still rocking and rolling and try to get those victim services in place.
But I guess the big concern is that someone who might have been hesitant to come forward before is even more hesitant now, because you just think, where would I go? Or what really now, what would I do?
Absolutely. And again, that's something that probably has caused a decrease in calls, because, you know what, with COVID, where are they going to go? Because some people, I don't know about the shelters, you know, as far as accepting people, even our hospitals, like, people are already hesitant to call, you know, the hospital or go to the hospital for services. So, you know, that's what we're seeing. A lot of families are just probably going to deal with it. So, again, only way we can reach out is just through resources, education, bringing awareness, just to continue to report these crimes.
You know, people have been worried about going to the hospital or going to shelters, and I would just add that there was a real dip in reporting right at the beginning of the pandemic, but with PPE and with a greater understanding of COVID, those numbers came back up, and the hospital 100% is responding and providing those services through the Forensic Nurse Examiner program to victims of domestic violence, those injured or those showing up to get away from that abuse. And also, you know, with the shelter, it's stayed open the entire time, the domestic violence shelter that we run. And people have been coming and using that support. I know people are scared to do that. But they're scared of COVID. And I can only say we haven't had any COVID this entire time in the domestic violence shelter, which, you know, it is hard to go to a shelter in usual times.
Yeah.
But I would say a lot of people end up going to the shelter because they know the alternative is as scary as it is. You know, we've talked a lot about the shame involved with domestic violence, and I feel so fortunate to be on the show and hear from Susan and from Carol and how passionate they are to educate. And I think that education is going to go a long way with survivors of domestic violence. They're ashamed. They feel that shame. They also feel that fear. And so when they reach out to the sheriff's office or when they reach out to Empower House, sometimes we're the first people they reach out, but sometimes we're the last people they reach out to. They've reached out to family. They've reached out to friends. Mm-hmm. And they're so isolated at that point that the next step really is the hospital or worse. And so I would just say that, as has been said by everyone, we are here for you. And as everyone has said, you are not alone.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think the more people in the community who can spread that message and share the resources of the sheriff's office, of the victim witness program, of prosecution, of Empower House, those confidential resources. If you're not sure what you want to do next and you want to dip your toe, you have a whole team of people in this community to support you. And we definitely want to make sure you know, reach out. It is worth it. It is worth reaching out.
And that hotline number, you gave the hotline number a few minutes ago.
Yes, it's 540-373-9373.
540-373-9373. And the other thing, Kathy Anderson, is that with Empower House, you know, if you want to become a donor for Empower House, that is always necessary to do what you do.
I tell you, it's more necessary than ever right now. We've got a replacement thing going on at the shelter right now, and we have to raise $100,000. So thanks for bringing that up. Definitely, if people would like to donate, the website is really the easiest way to do it.
Okay.
And that's empowerhouseva.org. There's a donate button. But, you know, sending a check or dropping off a check or however people want to donate, people have been doing that, and it's really been important through the pandemic, and it's important just generally.
And was this a $100,000 challenge, or what is this?
It's a challenge, but we've raised part of the funds,
okay,
which is about a third of what we need, but now we're still needing to raise the rest, which
okay,
is the $100,000.
Okay.
And we've got a few folks out in the community looking at this, the Lions Club. We've received a small but generous grant from the Realtors Foundation, so Fredericksburg Area Realtors Foundation. So any folks who can help, we've got a repair issue at the shelter, and we could really use that help right now.
Okay. Again, empowerhouseva.org. Get all the information there and check it out. And again, the hotline number, if you do have a need, 540-373-9373. And again, it is the week of the 18th
through
the 24th. Check the Stafford Sheriff's Office Facebook page for all the information. And also there's at the end of that week a walk at Embry Mill.
Yes, that's correct. April 23rd is the candlelight visual walk at Embry Mill.
Come out and see us.
Well, Sergeant Burgess, it's great to have you in studio. I see you in the field a lot, and so it is good to have you here. And thanks for what you all do with the Stafford Sheriff's Office.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Susan, what you do, and thank you. You're right there on the front lines with the Stafford Sheriff's Office and what you do. Thank you for all that
absolutely
you do.
Absolutely. It's a team effort.
And just
team effort.
Just to be able to come forward for the person who has issues, it's great to have you there. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Kathy Anderson, always good to have you here. And we'll talk to you soon, and maybe we'll do a show on really some of those needs and how to fund all that. We'll do that soon.
Fantastic. Be well.
EmpowerHouseVA.org. Kathy Anderson, Susan Sigmund, and Sergeant Carol Burgess with the Stafford Sheriff's Office. That's it for the show. Stay safe. We'll see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear Town Talk anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFBA.